ॐ हरिवोम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिवोम् ॐ श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दम् So, we have studied one, we have just chanted one Shanti Mantra, okay? And the following Suktam is called Medha Suktam. All Vedanta students and all those who want to learn in anything in life or who want to acquire spiritual knowledge or worldly knowledge, we have to pray for wisdom. Wisdom means what? We have to pray for the sharp, sharp intellect. We have to pray for the good power of intellection. Medha means the power of intellection, the intelligence. What is that? The capacity to understand things correctly. And having understood what has things correctly, the capacity to retain what has been understood, and the capacity to ascertain what has been heard, understood and retained, and the capacity to assimilate what has been retained. It's called Medha Shaktihi, Medha, intelligence. One has, how intelligent a person is, how can we say, how much he can understand, how much he can learn, how much he can grasp, absorb, how much he can retain in his mind, and how much he can assimilate what he has retained. So much intelligent he is. So the good intelligence means what? The power of intellection means the capacity to understand and retain what has been understood and assimilate what has been retained is called Medha. See, if there is food, if you don't have hunger at all, it's a problem. If you're hungry, you're able to eat food, the food is not available, also it's a problem. And food is available, you are eating the food. You are eating the food, you have eaten the food, food stays in the stomach, but doesn't get digested, means still the food is as good as, not eaten. Uneaten food. Therefore, assimilation also important. Hunger must be there, food must be available, you must eat the food, understand? You must be able to eat, good appetite one must have. We eat properly, good stuff, and you have the capacity to hold, eat good quantity of food, then you should have the capacity to digest and have the assimilated energy also. Only then the purpose of eating gets served. Similarly, when you study anything, you'll be able to understand and you have to grasp and retain what has been understood. Here, if it goes through 1 year, if it goes out through another year, it's a problem. It should stay in your mind. And whatever stays for some time, and after some time it goes away. No. Assimilated, you can never go. That capacity to understand, retain and assimilate is called Medha. And especially as Vedanta students, and we are all committed to the pursuit of self-knowledge. Knowledge of the reality. And even this knowledge needs what? Good Medha Shakti, good power of intellection. Any study, any knowledge involves, any knowledge requires Medha, intelligence. And here self-knowledge also requires Medha. So in the Vedic chant, there is a sukta especially for invoking, especially we ask for good power of intellection. That's why we have a suktam called Medha Suktam. It is why, that's what is Medha Shakti. And this is Shanti Mantra from Krishna Yajurveda. This is again from Taittiriya Upanishad Mantra. It's a Shanti Mantra which I started first. Yes, Chandasam. I have to teach you the mantra chanting, then I have to tell the meaning of the mantra. Then I have to teach you the Medha Suktam, then I have to tell you the meaning. Knowledge of anything other than the self is knowledge of an object. Falls within the realm of the objective world. So how much ever knowledge we gain, and that knowledge other than the knowledge of the self, knowledge of anything and everything, how much ever we gain, that knowledge will always leave us behind. No? Still, behind means what? That knowledge will always be incomplete. How many ever PhDs one gains, still one's knowledge of knowledge will be incomplete. But knowledge of the self always makes the knowledge complete. Why, how, we'll see later on. Okay? Time being, I'll settle this. I'm starting like that today. So we know all that man wants to pursue in life are artha, kama, dharma and mokshaha. Even though all the artha, kama, dharmas come under the category of prayas and moksha come under the category of shreyas, though all the four pursuits are equally important, what is the ultimate of all the four? What is the choiceless end is the mokshaha. And mokshaha is actually knowing what happiness is, discovering what happiness is. So this discovery of happiness implies discovery of the nature of one's own self, discovery of the reality, nature of the reality of the entire universe. And the reality of the entire universe is available for understanding as one's own self, as the meaning of the word I. So last class we saw knowledge of the meaning of the word I is equal to knowledge of the reality of the entire universe, and knowledge of the reality of the entire universe is equal to knowledge of what happiness is, and knowledge of what happiness is equal to attaining moksha. Therefore, self-knowledge is equal to mokshaha, freedom from limitations. All the dependences, emotional leaning, emotional dependence, all forms of sorrow, we are going to understand the word moksha again more elaborately later on. Now this much is enough. Therefore, this discovery of happiness, moksha being choiceless end, we have no choice. Until and unless I discover what happiness is, my search for happiness will be continuous, endless search. I had to put an end to this search. I had to put a full stop for this one day or the other. It will not happen until I discover it. So I have no choice. So I can't afford to waste this life, which has been, which is a blessing. Therefore, to discover what happiness is, I have to know what the reality is. To know what the reality is, I need to know what the self is. There's no way of arriving at understanding what the reality is other than knowing what the self is. As we saw last class, if the wave has to know the truth of the entire ocean, in order to feel it is part of the ocean, it's already the ocean, And the know, the wave has to know its own Swarupam being H2O. Understand? First. Then it will understand, oh, the truth of the entire ocean is not other than H2O. Similarly, here every individual being part of the entire universe, every individual has to know the truth of oneself in order to know the truth of everything else. And that is why, so how to know the truth of oneself? And I told you, there is a unique method of unfoldment. Other than using this method, it's a kindergarten method. No, it's the basic method used in Vedanta. What is that method? I told you, Drik, Drishya, Viveka, Prakriya. Subject-object analysis. And that methodology helps you to distinguish the self from the non-self. Why do we need to distinguish the self from the non-self? Because the self and the non-self are inseparable. Like what? Like the wave and the water. Wave and the water are not separable. But still we have to understand what is the self of the wave. We have to understand. Similarly, here also, the self and the non-self, because they are inseparable, non-separate. And we have to distinguish the self from, that is possible, that's why we always mistake the non-self for the self, because of ignorance of the self. And not only we mistake the non-self for the self, we superimpose all the limitations of the attributes, the problems of the non-self upon the self, and which really cause big havoc. Therefore, we have to first of all distinguish the self from the non-self. In order to know what the self is exactly, we have to distinguish the self from the non-self, for which you are using this unique method of subject-object analysis. There what we saw, very important thing is, anything and everything indicated by any pronoun other than the first person singular pronoun, I, is an object of knowledge. And no object of knowledge is ever mistaken for the subject, the knower. We don't mistake, I know that is a door, when I say, I don't mistake the door for myself. I know I am the knower, I am the subject, I know this is a door. When I say, I am the knower, door is an object of knowledge, and I don't mistake the door for myself. Similarly, I don't mistake the chair for myself. I am very clear, I am the knower, I the knower am the subject, different from the known object of knowledge. Therefore, don't mistake. Anything external to the physical body is understood as an object, it is not mistaken. But where the problem begins? From the physical body. And there, the Shastram uses the method of negation. In using the Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya, Shastram helps you to, how does it help you to understand what the self is? By negating what the self is not, it helps you to arrive at what the self is. How you negate what the self is not? Not anything external to the physical body. You come to the physical body because we very much mistake the body for the Atma, body for the self. Body, now we have I notion, I sense in the body. Therefore, this physical body, the toes and the entire physical gross body, it is tangible, it is perceptible, and it is perceptible for all of us. My physical body is visible for all of you. All physical bodies are visible for all of us. If it is gross body, is an object of knowledge. Therefore, we can never say, I am the body. This body, we can very well say. Therefore, in being indicatable by the word this, pronoun this, I say body also is what? An object of knowledge. Therefore, I, the knower, am the subject different from the known physical body, the first negation. Thereafter, we saw how there is something called subtle body. Even though we use the word body, subtle body is invisible, it is not tangible, it is subtle, it is not perceptible, it cannot be perceived through senses. That's why it's called subtle body. And the subtle body, I told you, consists of what? 16 factors. 5 sense organs, 5 organs of knowledge, and 5 physiological functions. We saw that. And one after the other, I told you, the subtle body has no form. It is subtle. Subtle means it is not perceivable through senses. We cannot see through the physical eyes how it looks. Understand? Therefore, this subtle body also is available for objectification. We cannot see the subtle body through physical eyes, but we can understand subtle body being manifest. Every subtle body is known to one's own self. Gross body is known to everybody else. One's own subtle body is known to one's own self. How? I know my seeing power, I know my hearing power, I know my smelling power, I know the power of taste in my tongue, I know my power, sense of touch. Therefore, all the sense powers are known to me. Therefore, I the self am the knower. Okay, I the knower am the subject different from the known sense organs, sense powers. I the knower am different from the organs of knowledge, hands and legs. Not simply the physical part, but the power of holding, power of walking, this capacity to speak, the organ of speech, and the reproductive organ, excretory organ. So, all these powers of organs of actions are known to me. I know they are, how they are. I can feel them, I know them. Therefore, I, the knower, am different from the known organs of actions. We'll see it again later on, but now I want to first give the introduction. And we saw 5 physiological functions. Even the one vital air, one pranaha, is given 5 different names. Why? Because of the 5 different functions. Like what? Respiration, which involves inhalation and exhalation. Then circulation. Okay, then excretion or evacuation. Then digestion and also retention. These are 5 different functions. So, pranaha, apanaha, vyanaha, samanaha, udanaha. Okay? So, all these 5 pranas governing 5 different physiological functions such as respiration, excretion or evacuation, and circulation, digestion and retention or reversing system. Okay? All these 5 functions. All the 5 functions are known to me. Therefore, I, the knower, am different from the known physiological functions also. Now, what one thing is left in subtle body is the antahkaranam, the mind. We saw the last class. And the mind, I told you, is nothing but the constant continuous flow of thoughts. Mind is the constituent of many varieties of thoughts. And we can say in Sanskrit bhasha, thought is called antahkarana vrittihi. Vritti. Say now.
Vritti.
Vrittihi means a thought. Yennam. Or you can say thought modification or state of mind or thought. Okay. And many thoughts together constitute, form the mind. And these thoughts, for our easy understanding, we are classifying the thoughts into 4 groups, into 4 classes. How? Some thoughts together constitute the mind, which is called manaha, and some thoughts together form the intellect, and there some thoughts together form the memory, chittam, and the knowledge that I am, and any notion one has about oneself, all those thoughts, no? The thoughts form ahankaraha. I tell you again, manaha, mind, buddhihi, intellect, chittam, memory, and ahankaraha, ego. Now we said, all these thoughts, as I told you, what are all the thoughts which form the mind? We'll see now, okay? Ignorance is a state of mind. Fear is a fear. Ignorance, anger, desire, jealousy, hatred, anxiety, tension, stress, no, agitation. So all this, I can give a list of more thoughts, okay? And these different, everything is what? Everything is a state of mind. One thought. And all of them come under the category of mind. Emotional side. Okay, all of them form together what? Emotional side of the mind. I mean, there's no side or anything, okay? We say mind. Then we say knowledge, clarity, understanding, cognition, perception, cheerfulness. So confusion is mind, clarity is intellect. Resolve, decision, no, fortitude. All these different thought states of mind form the intellect. Then any recollection of any past incident or past situation, past happening, sorrow, pleasant or unpleasant, which are replay in your mind and see, which is not seen presently, but still which would have happened before, which remains stored in your memory, which surface, which recollection of the past happenings, also is in the form of thought. That's also thought. And those thoughts constitute what? The thoughts which form, which, no, nothing but the recollection of the past incidents in one's life is also thought, and that's called a memory, chittam, storehouse of memory. That's a mind. And as a mind means what? I mean, chittam. It's called chittam. Then ahankaraha, see, knowledge of anything and everything is also thought. Understand? That is, that comes under the category of buddhihi. But the knowledge that I am, naan idini, aham asmi, I am, irikkiren, what is that? Irikkirada is arivu. Irikkiren is also what? Arivu, knowledge. The knowledge that I am is not, then any notion one has about oneself. They're all the thoughts. Any notion you have, what you have, but not others, okay? The notion you have about yourself. And the knowledge that I am. You cannot have any notion about yourself if you don't know you are. I told you last class itself. So all these thoughts form what? Ahankaraha. Understand, that is why ahankaraha, ego. It is, we don't need to feel bad about having ahankaraha. Imagine, is this ahankara, the knowledge that I am, in fact distinguishes you from other living beings. That is only, that knowledge alone makes you a self-conscious being. That knowledge makes you a superior being. So we don't need to feel bad about having ahankara. What is ahankara? The knowledge that I am is ahankara. Understand? And any notion you have about yourself also is ahankara. It's all thoughts. Is it okay? Now we say, and which of these thoughts is not known to you? Your mind is known to you, your anger is known to you, your desire is known to you, your anxiety is known to you, your tension is known to you, your fear is known to you, your jealousy, your hatred is known to you, your confusion is known to you, your clarity is known to you, your knowledge is known to you. What you know, you know. You know that you know Tamil or English. You know that you do not know French. You know what you know what you don't know. Sometimes you do not know what you do not know, what all you do not know. Isn't it? But still you know that you do not know, isn't it? You know that you do not know. That's a great thing. You know that you do not know. You also know that you know. Therefore, knowledge is known to you, ignorance is known to you, clarity is known to you, confusion is known to you, which is not known to you. And you know you are. I told you last class itself. Be very conscious, okay? You all know you are. Every one of you know that you are. If everything is known to you, what is not known to you now? So mind also is known to you. Therefore, I, the knower, am the subject different from the known object of knowledge, the mind. Mind also is an object of knowledge. Mind is an object of knowledge. Mind is known to me. Therefore, I, the knower, am the subject different from the known mind. Mind also is an object of knowledge. Then what are you then? I'm the subject. I'm the knower. Who is this knower then? I said last class, just I used the word Chaitanyam, pure consciousness. I, the self, I, the knower, am the consciousness. And that consciousness is the self, self of everything, the reality of everything, the truth of everything. Consciousness is the actual substance of the substantive I. I can tell you, last class I told you one thing, listen carefully. H2O is the substance. And wave is the substantive. H2O is the meaning and wave is the term. What is the meaning of the word wave? Water. What is the meaning of the word ocean? Water. Meaning means what? What is the substance of the substantives, ocean and the wave? Ocean is a substantive, wave is a substantive. Two different nouns, meaning two different forms. Understand? Form and name. Ocean is a name of a given form. And wave also is a name of a given form, small form. And these two different forms cannot exist independent of one thing, that is water. Therefore, the real meaning of the word term wave is water. The real meaning of the word ocean also is water. Why? Minus water, then the form has no meaning. Without the form, the name has no meaning. Understand? Therefore, substantives, wave is a substantive, ocean is a substantive, and what is the actual substance is the water. Isn't it? And that water, substance of the two different substantives is one and the same. It is not divisible, it is not, no, it's a partless. Similarly, here we say substance of the substantive I is equal to consciousness. You can say, no, this body, this body mind sense complex is like a name, and it's a form of the name. Name is a name of a given form, isn't it? Body is a name of a given form. Mind is a name of a given form, subtle form. All the aura are just the names. And these names are of names of given forms. And all these forms, ultimately, my without one thing have no meaning. That is consciousness. Therefore, the substance of the substantive I is equal to consciousness. For ultimate substance of the substantive universe or cosmos is also consciousness. And that consciousness is the consciousness, the only substance of the two different substantives, I and the universe, is one indivisible, partless whole. And I have to tell you one more thing now. Today it will develop a bit, okay? I never spoke to you about the causal body. I spoke to you about the subtle body, gross body and subtle body. There is something called causal body. What is this causal body? Causal body is that from which this gross and the subtle body would have come into being. You can say this body is born of my mother, parents, my mother's womb. But still, it must have been there in a causal form, isn't it? So for which I have to tell you one thing. See, this whole, similarly, now you can understand, this gross body is perceptible. This entire universe, what is perceptible, perceivable through physical eyes, is what? Gross universe. So this gross body is part of the gross universe or gross manifestation. What is gross? Anything perceptible, perceivable, tangible, visible through the senses is what? Gross. Sthula prapanchaha. When you say sthula dehaha, similarly we have sthula prapanchaha. Sthula prapanchaha means what? Gross universe. And like gross body. So gross universe is like, just as gross body is perceptible, gross universe is perceptible. All the forms we see, all this perceivable through senses all come within the realm of gross universe. Is it clear now? Gross universe, thula prapanchaha. And similarly, now because you know the subtle body, your own subtle body, similarly, just as there is a subtle body which is known to you, your subtle body which is known to you, even though it is imperceptible and invisible, still you know there is a subtle body. Similarly, there is also every gross thing in this universe has subtle thing in itself. Therefore, there is also subtle universe. All the pranas, all the minds, all the senses, of different levels. In animals, there are, everything. All the living beings have all what? All subtle bodies. Understand? So the entire universe is pervaded by what? Subtle universe. The gross universe and subtle universe. When you say the entire cosmos, it implies both subtle and gross universe. When you say universe in its entirety, gross universe or subtle universe together, we say the universe, cosmos in its entirety. So, sukshma prapanchaha, and sthula prapanchaha. We have both, okay? Gross universe is called sthula prapanchaha and subtle universe is called sukshma prapanchaha. When you say prapanchaha, we mean both sukshma and sthula together. So we see all of them are manifest in waking state. You can understand what is gross universe available for perception only when you are in when you are awake. When you are awake. So we say this gross universe and subtle universe both together, universe in its entirety is what? Has come into being from that. Just the entire ocean is nothing but manifestation of water. Similarly, this entire universe in subtle and gross forms are nothing but manifestation of that only reality, the consciousness. We say this. Oh, if you say this universe, before it became manifest, did it exist or not? The universe must have existed even before it came into being. Because out of nothing, something cannot come into being. So it must have existed even before it became manifest. So where was it? Where was this universe? We say this universe was in an unmanifest seed or potential condition. So the unmanifest potential condition of the universe, the seed form, is called the causal universe. It is also known by the term Maya. Understand? Maya. Now the question will come, how do you say the entire universe, the unmanifest universe, what is Maya now? Universe, when it is unmanifest, it is called Maya. Like what? The question may come, how was the universe, what do you mean by the universe being unmanifest? Listen carefully. If there is a seed, and the seed is very small seed, smallest seed, can you believe the fig tree, such a huge tree it becomes? Know how small the seed is, the fig seed? Inside the smallest seed, any tree I tell you, smallest seed, big tree, all the branches, all the leaves, all the flowers, all the fruits, all the colors, the fragrance of the fruits and seeds, I mean the flowers, the number of petals, the trunk, the roots, everything remained unmanifest. Where? In the seed. Is it visible? No. Can you say it? Because you definitely know, this is smallest seed when you sow. Every few big trees we see, my God, every whole big tree, or with everything, it remained unmanifest in the smallest seed. Understand? And what happens? The seed first grows into, evolves into a plant. Then it evolves into a big tree. But here, we get simultaneously evolves, okay? Similarly, the reality evolves into what? The subtle body. It also evolves into a gross body. What is this? That means before, understand, the tree is unmanifest in the seed like this. Only example, okay? Don't take it seriously. The entire universe remains unmanifest. So the unmanifest universe is called Maya. And now what is this Maya? So the universe always, always it exists. There is no time the universe is not there. There is no time when the universe is not there. Always it exists. But it either exists in an unmanifest form or in manifest form. When the universe is unmanifest, either it is in an unmanifest condition, okay, or it exists as manifest universe. So the causal universe is called Maya. What is causal universe is Maya, which alone manifests as subtle and gross universe. This gross body belongs to what? Gross universe. Subtle body belongs to? Subtle universe. So what is the causal body now? Maya, same Maya, which is said to be causal universe, with reference to individual body, is said to be what? Avidya. Avidya and Maya are two different words used to indicate the causal universe and the causal body. Understand? The same causal body, causal universe, with reference to an individual is meant by the word avidya. The same, understand? Causal universe with reference to the universe is meant by the word Maya. What is Maya? Unmanifest universe is Maya. Universe in unmanifest condition, potential condition is known by the word Maya. Now let me tell you, what is that avidya, what is that Maya? How can we understand what Maya is? For which we have to do another, okay, analysis. Let us analyze our deep sleep state experience. And we have three states of experience. Mind goes through the three states of experience. And waking state, in waking state, the knowledge that I am is, the knowledge that the universe is, isn't it? And mind is fully active, totally active. There is a gross universe, the universe is there, manifest. And why? The knowledge that I am is there in waking state. And the knowledge that the universe is, ulaham irikkirathu, naan irikkiren, that knowledge is. Isn't it? I am, the universe is, that knowledge is. Then, there is another what? Dream state. So the waking state is very well known to you. The knowledge that I am is known to you. The knowledge that the universe is known to you. The universe is. And in dream state, mind is half active, half asleep. Mind is partially active, partially inactive. So what happens? The sense powers are closed. Perception does not take place. Therefore, the external universe does not exist, but there is dream. Every day we don't have this dream experience. Once in a while we have, and there is a dream. This dream is nothing but projection of your own mind, okay? Whatever experiences you have recollected during the waking state, the more the whatever you are thinking of, those thoughts remain stored, and strong feelings and thoughts, they get mixed up, some, okay, you project and see. That comes up. So replay of your own thinking, daytime thinking, comes as a dream experience, dream universe. And you see, sometimes the dreams are very vivid, sometimes they are not very vivid, sometimes you are not very clear, but sometimes you dream something. But whether there is a vivid dream or unclear dream, when you wake up from sleep, you are able to narrate the dream. Okay? You can say clearly what all you dreamt, systematically. Sometimes, yeah, I had some funny dream, I don't know what, but I can't say what I saw, but I had some funny dream. You can say that. That means what? The dream experience also is known. Understand? Even when the dream was there, something must have been there, knowing the dream, because of the presence of which dream is known, because of which there is knowledge of the dream takes place. That is why you are able to recollect and express your dream. Then we go to the deep sleep state experience. In deep sleep state, mind is totally passive. Completely passive. When I say mind is totally passive, there is no experience. In Tamil, we say katta madri thungaran. You know, he sleeps like a log of wood. Log of wood, it means what? There is no knowledge of anything. There is no universe. Universe exists, but for the one who is asleep, universe is as good as non-existent. Why? Universe is, but the knowledge that the universe is not there. What is not there? Universe is in deep sleep state. What is not there is not the universe, but the knowledge that the universe is not there. And be very careful. In deep sleep state, universe exists, but the knowledge that the universe is not there. In waking state, the knowledge that the universe is there. That's the difference between waking state and the deep sleep state. See, in both the states, universe exists. In waking state also, universe exists. In deep sleep state also, universe exists. But what is not there? The knowledge that the universe is not there in deep sleep state. Whereas in waking state, the knowledge that the universe is there. And not only this, the knowledge that I am is there in waking state. The knowledge that I am is also not there in deep sleep state. That is why we say, I did not even know that I was. How well did you sleep? I slept very well, like a log of wood. How well did you sleep? I did not know anything. You did not know anything. I did not know anything. I did not know that there was the universe. I did not have any experience, no perception. I did not even know that I was. That means what? The knowledge I was, what was not there was, the knowledge that I am was not there.
What about the subtle universe? Is the, do you know the knowledge of your existence then?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking. The knowledge, subtle body is there,
yeah.
Gross body is there,
yeah.
Gross universe is there, subtle universe is there, everything is there. But what is not there is only the knowledge. The knowledge that I am is not there. The knowledge that the universe is not there. In deep sleep state. In waking state, the knowledge that I am is there. The knowledge that the world is there. Know that? Understand now? Therefore, the knowledge that I am also is not there in deep sleep state. That is why you say, I did not know anything. Even I did not know I was. Okay, you can't say, I was not there. I was, but I did not know I was. That means what? The knowledge that I am is not there. And when you wake up from sleep, and you can say, there is an experience of deep sleep. How was the deep sleep? You are able to tell. I did not know I was. I did not know the world is. The world was. I did not know. Only the knowledge that the world is was not there. The knowledge I am was not there. No experience, no perception, no pain, no pleasure. Then what was there? Total ignorance. What is total ignorance? A deep sleep state, when the knowledge that the universe is, the total universe is not there, that is called total ignorance. So, understand? So, the knowledge being not there is what? The knowledge that the universe is being not there is total ignorance. Then what is total ignorance? Then what happened to the knowledge? Can you say knowledge was not there at all? No. Knowledge is always there as pure consciousness. How do we say? When you wake up from sleep, you can say, I slept well. How do you know you slept well? How do you know that you did not know that you were? How do you say, I did not know anything, there was no experience at all? Okay, there's experience of non-experience. There's experience of nothingness. Nothing being experienced in deep sleep state is known, isn't it? That means, if it is known, the deep sleep state also is known. If it is not known, how can you recollect the next day, tell you the next day how well you slept? You can't say that. There's experience, there's knowledge. Therefore, what is there? What is there because of the presence of which? Okay, nothing being known is known. Nothing being experienced is experienced. The knowledge that the universe being not there, universe is, knowledge that the universe is being not there is known. Something is there, because of which nothing being experienced is experienced. No? The non-experience is experienced. There must be an experiencer. There is something is present. Therefore, that because of the presence of which the knowledge that I am being not there is known. That because of the presence of which the knowledge that the universe is being not there is known. That is consciousness. Understand? So that consciousness is always there as the witness, as the knower. Understand? The knower of the three states of experience is who? The consciousness. That's okay. But I'm more interested in saying something else. What is total ignorance now? The knowledge that the universe is, okay, being not there. In deep sleep state, the knowledge that the universe is not there. When the knowledge that the universe is not there, we say there is total ignorance. And the total ignorance is known, isn't it? When you wake up from sleep, you say there was total ignorance, there was nothing. Isn't it? Now, you know what is total ignorance? Total ignorance is known. Therefore, total ignorance is in fact known is the causal universe or the causal body. Okay? The same total ignorance with reference to the universe is said by meant by the word Maya. With reference to the individual is meant by the word Avidya. Two different words we are using, Avidya and Maya. The total ignorance, which is also experienced in deep sleep state, please understand. You should know what is total ignorance. Okay? The knowledge that the universe is being not there is total ignorance. And the total ignorance with reference to the universe is known by the word Maya. With reference to the individual is known by the word Avidya. Is it clear? I am going to explain to you how the Maya is the causal universe. Is it clear now? So, then when you said there is total ignorance, what is this total ignorance? Is it absence of knowledge? No. Knowledge is never absent. Why do we say, how do we say knowledge is never absent? Because there is always knowledge as what? Total ignorance is known. Total ignorance is known. Understand, when the universe is, the knowledge that the universe is known. The knowledge that the universe is being not there also is known. The knowledge being not there is known, the knowledge being there also is known. That means if the knowledge being there is known, the knowledge being not there is known, there is always the knower. Who knows the knowledge being there, who knows the knowledge being not there. The knower is always there, isn't it? The consciousness, the knower is always there as what? Knowing the knowledge being there, knowing the knowledge being not there. Therefore, in fact, even though we say knower, knower is pure knowledge. Understand? Pure consciousness. Therefore, knowledge never becomes absent. Then what is this total ignorance then? We can say unmanifest knowledge. Total ignorance is unmanifest knowledge. So, knowledge is always either in waking state, knowledge is manifest. In deep sleep state, knowledge is unmanifest. We should not say knowledge is absent. Understand? Knowledge is not absent. There is no such thing called absence of knowledge. We can always say knowledge either is manifest. We can use the word, okay? Present and absent, you can say. Doesn't mean it is not there at all. The absent, the word you can use, but in the sense of being unmanifest. Not the sense of non-existence. Understand? So knowledge is either unmanifest or manifest. The knowledge that the universe is, and it is there, knowledge is manifest. And the knowledge that the universe is not there, okay, knowledge is unmanifest. When the knowledge that the universe is not there, the unmanifest knowledge is total ignorance. And the total ignorance is said to be what? Maya and Avidya. Understand? Two different words. Now I tell you, Maya also is known. Total ignorance is also known. Isn't it? Is there a distance between Maya and consciousness? Are they two different things? No. I have to explain to you now. What is this Maya? What is this? We say Maya is the total ignorance. Therefore, Avidya is what? Avidya and Maya are one of the same. The causal universe is the causal body. Understand? Everything is there. Now listen carefully. there is no distance between the total, the unmanifest knowledge. I do not use the word ignorance, okay? The unmanifest knowledge, which is otherwise known by the term total ignorance, is not outside of consciousness. Like what? There is a pond full of still water, clear still water, asaivatra neer. Then we go and see the water. My God, there is stillness of water. There is, we see the still water and we say there is stillness of water. Now please tell me, what is the distance between stillness and the water? There is no distance. Is there stillness? Yes. But does this stillness have independent existence without water? Can the stillness exist without the water? No. But understand, is there stillness? Yes. Then does stillness exist really then? No. Why? Stillness is, we cannot say stillness is not there at all, but nor can we say stillness is absolutely real. Why? Because stillness has no independent existence. Stillness cannot exist independent of water. Therefore, we say water is real, okay? And stillness is. In fact, stillness is nothing but water. Isn't it? Stillness is nothing but water. Then all our young children, we'll take them. All of them with swimming suits jump into the water. My God. Stillness is disturbed. All ripples and big waves and things, okay? Then what happened? In stillness, water is H2O. Stillness is disturbed. All the waves and ripples have come. Understand? In stillness is what? The ripples and waves, before they became manifest, they were unmanifest. Unmanifest waves and unmanifestation of waves and ripples is stillness. Okay? Manifestation of stillness is what? Waves and ripples. Understand? Then in ripples also, the truth is water. In stillness also, the truth is water. Because ripples also are dependent on water. Waves also dependent on water for their existence. And stillness also is dependent on water for its existence. Water is always the H2O. Water is always H2O. Whether in stillness it is H2O, in the form of waves and ripples also it is H2O. And it little goes above the head, doesn't matter. We'll talk again. We'll come back and talk about the same thing next class. Is it clear now? Therefore, we say, what is stillness? Unmanifest potential seed form of the waves and ripples is stillness. Don't worry, we'll talk about again. I know it has to become very clear. And what are the ripples and waves? Oh, manifestation of stillness. What is stillness? Stillness is water. What are the ripples? Ripples are water. Similarly, knowledge, whether it is manifest, whether it is unmanifest, it's not outside of consciousness. unmanifest knowledge is consciousness, manifest knowledge also is consciousness. So what is universe? Universe is manifestation of knowledge. The whole universe is manifestation of knowledge. We will talk about this Vedic cosmology again when I come back.
And Swami, can you now talk about Maya and Avidya?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you. Oh. Understand? Yes. Similarly, yes. When you say total ignorance is what? Unmanifest knowledge. Unmanifest knowledge is Maya. Manifest knowledge is the universe. Universe is what? Manifestation of knowledge is the universe. This universe is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. Unmanifest knowledge is Maya. Is it clear enough? Unmanifest knowledge is Maya. Manifest knowledge is universe. When you say universe, don't exclude yourself there. The problem is, we look at everything like this universe means. You have to look from here. Understand? Manifest knowledge is universe. Unmanifest knowledge is Maya. Just as manifest knowledge is not outside, okay? The stillness and ripples are not outside of water. Whether the knowledge is manifest or unmanifest, it's not outside of consciousness. Therefore, the whole universe always exists. Universe also eternal. But it becomes manifest, it becomes unmanifest. When the universe is, there is knowledge is manifest. When the universe is not, knowledge is unmanifest. Whether it's unmanifest or manifest, it's not outside of consciousness. And consciousness is always there. Understand? And that consciousness is the substance of the substantive I. What we should say now? I, the Self, am the consciousness, the source of knowledge, the pure knowledge, which is there as the knower of all three states of experience in all the minds. Then, and this consciousness, we'll see. We have to talk so much about, I shouldn't say everything together, and then what is there for me to come and talk in front of my classes? I had to keep certain things with me.